Your favorite Lagos Talks podcasts are now available on all online podcast platforms. Simply search for Lagos Talks 913 on your preferred podcast platform. Lagos Talks 91.3.
Join the conversation.
Open Gangnam Style.
So we say welcome back to the studio right here at Lagos Talks 91.3 FM. The name is Oluwa Kayode. We are live in the studio, and I told you we're bringing, in basketball you have the VVIPs and very, very, very extremely important personalities joining us in the studio today and to discuss the economic and trade and other activities around it. She is the acting director general of the Nigerian America Chamber of Commerce. And I get excited, and I've been on her case for a while now, trying to, you wouldn't understand. But let me confess, one of the reasons is that, you know, you often don't get ladies leading. You need to do everything possible. So you know what? Just come here and talk. And it's not about doing her a favor. She has a lot to offer. She is a voice that is heard on media platforms everywhere, not just in Nigeria. She speaks on Nigeria, particularly trade. And she's a communications person herself. Wafa Samuel joins me in the studio.
Thank you very much, Kayode. I'm so pleased to be here.
Great to have you. And from your perspective, let's hit the ground immediately. Now, from your perspective, when you look at Nigeria and you look at the economy, in your view, what is the greatest, failure or missed opportunities in this current economy that we have in Nigeria?
Okay, so for me, I would say the greatest failure or the most missed opportunity in the current economy that we have, number one, is capturing data. So when you look at Nigeria's methodology for capturing data, a lot of information most times is not available for some of the progresses, some of the successes, some of the trade volumes that we've recorded, some of the trade volumes that we've recorded in a lot of sectors. So we do have the Nigerian Investment Promotions Council. They are doing a good job. We do have the Nigerian Export Promotions Council, amongst other agencies, that are coming up every single day to ensure that data is captured, especially with respect to trade. So I think data is one area Nigeria is lacking. And then the next thing I would like to say is stability of our currency, the FX. That's also another very main challenge for Nigeria. A lot of investors who consider factors before walking into any economy or any country to invest would look at how stable your market is. So I do think with the aspect of foreign currency, we haven't done so much with the FX. So data is one of the challenges we have right now. FX is one of the challenges. And then maximizing local content. We're coming up in that regard. Back in the day, gone are the days, rather, where you see a lot of foreign organizations, a lot of foreigners, international bodies and people coming to execute projects in Nigeria without necessarily integrating the masses. Local content is also one thing we were basically lacking in the past. But now we're seeing a lot of Nigerian organizations, Nigerian companies measuring up to standard, be it in the oil and gas sector, be it in the agriculture sector, in the health sector, to name a few. So for me, data has always been a problem. And then FX has always been a challenge, local content. But we're not there. We're making steady progress.
You're making steady progress. So when you look at, for example, the data that you speak of, you have access to certain data in Nigeria that,
yes,
unfortunately, in Nigeria, we often don't share such. It resides within a cluster of some key people. You might even say that, unfortunately, again, some of this data that has been gathered might be more available to some external organizations and parties than it is to the locals in Nigeria. But with the access you have to our data, how badly is our economy doing? And how strong, on the other side, is the economy, the true picture of Nigeria?
Yes. Okay, in a personal opinion, I would say we're not doing so badly, if I have to be very honest, comparable to what it was in the past. We've made some mistakes, and at the end of the day, every government comes into power and they're trying to adjust and see how they can, cover up loopholes and make progress. So if you're looking at what we had in the past, I mean, of course, way back we had our Naira competing favorably with other currencies, the USD and so on, and it has deteriorated, depreciated over time. But if you're looking holistically at the economy, we're not doing so badly. So back in the day, our major source of foreign income earning was oil and gas, the proceeds from oil revenues. And now we're diversifying from oil to mining, to agriculture, to energy, to health. So if you're looking at the country holistically, economy-wise, the fact that we're diversifying, the fact that there's a diversification from oil proceeds is a step in the right direction. But in generality, if you're comparing us to where we were in the past, you know, things were more affordable. We had more people investing in Nigeria. But over time, there's been so many factors like security, discouraging investors. There's been so many other factors like scarcity of FX. Like I did mention, FX is an enabler. It's a pointer to whether or not people want to come into your market. The more stable your market is, the more you have access to foreign exchange earnings. So if your foreign exchange earning capacity is weak, it sends a very negative signal to investors, and that's what we're seeing now. I think that's one of the challenges Nigeria is critically battling, you know, the areas of foreign exchange earnings, the areas of security. And permit me to say, I do not go on any media channel, radio stations, TV, without talking about the relationship we share with the U.S. The U.S. is doing so much in the areas of security. Recently, we do know they've been training, you know, our military personnel, our paramilitary personnel, the police force.
That happens periodically.
Periodically. That's one of the many investments from the U.S. government to Nigeria. And then in terms of security, we do know that the Northeast is one of the worst hit across the continent of Africa, if not the rest of the world. So every single year, U.S. invests at least $330 million to Nigeria for humanitarian aid, just to assist people who are badly hit in some of these areas and, you know, in some of these places. So in essence, what am I saying? People look at a lot of factors, from security to how strong your foreign exchange earnings are, before they make the decision to invest in your society or your economy.
Mm. All right. And with that said now, Nigeria has a lot of bilateral agreements.
Yes,
we have a lot of agreements with international organizations.
Yes,
one of the most controversial, which many Nigerians, including myself, having read it, would say thank God we didn't sign it, is the Economic Partnership Agreement with the EU, which was said to have would have completely collapsed our manufacturing sector. It will have given more powers to European goods than things from here. But when you look at agreements, are we making the best of it? Are we milking it enough to the benefit of Nigerians?
No, not at all. When you look at agreements, I'd like to speak specifically to AGOA.
AGOA, yes.
So I wouldn't want to...
I wanted to take it step by step in general before we come to AGOA. Okay, because AGOA, we can't compare what happens in Kenya and Ghana to what we do with AGOA in Nigeria. But generally, before we come to AGOA, yes.
Okay, so generally, I do not think we are maximizing the best of opportunities that are inherent in agreements, bilateral agreements, trilateral agreements. Again, like I did mention, we're not where we want to be, but we're making progress. So with every administration, you have a minister for trade, you have your minister for foreign affairs who ensure that, you know, they put together all of these processes, they put together all of these conversations to see how we can further the discussion to maximize the benefits of these agreements. So you did talk about the EU. At the end of the day, manufacturing is very key. So for any economy, you have to be more export dependent than import dependent. The proceeds from exports should surpass the proceeds from imports. Yeah. That is the only way, you know, your economy has to be a lot more than your population growth.
Mm.
So if your economy is growing faster than your population, the possibility of having inflation is very low.
Okay.
So you have low inflation. But at the end of the day, if your population is growing higher than your economy, you have like maximum really high inflation. That's what we're seeing in Nigeria. So we have over 300 million people in Nigeria. The population is consistently growing. Nigeria is arguably becoming, you know, one of the most populated countries in the world. In the next couple of years, if we're not careful, we might be among the top five, top six. Now, if the population is growing and the economy is not growing, of course, inflation is without a doubt unmissable. So the point here is we are not maximizing the benefits of a lot of agreements we're having. A lot of times we don't even understand the context of these agreements. And even if we do, bureaucracy, you know, change of policies, a lot of governments are really not interested. They're interested more in the short-term benefits, you know, getting grants, getting loans, getting aid, instead of putting in the work on these agreements, reading through the pages, seeing how much we can invest our time and energy on implementing some of the strategies that are necessary or obtainable from these agreements. We don't do that. We just like to deal with the short-term benefits. So in general, we're not maximizing the gains and benefits of various agreements that Nigeria has gotten into over time. And then I did mention AGOA.
AGOA, yeah. Now, and when you talk about we not maximizing, who are the we? When such an agreement is signed, who are the key players, or let me say we have the primary players, you have the secondary players. What role do the people play? Because when you talk about agreement, who is meant to go out there and take advantage of it, and how?
Thank you very much. I mean, that's a very valid question. So when you talk about what role do people play, government has no business doing business, but government has business creating the environment that is conducive for businesses to thrive. Okay. So it is not private sector individuals who represent Nigeria going out to sign these agreements. It's the government. So if any company organization is coming into Nigeria, for instance, you have to work with some government agencies, whether or not you like it. You didn't just come in. There are licenses you need to obtain. There are some rules and regulations you need to follow. There are tariffs you need to deal with. There are taxes and so on. So the agencies, whether you're talking about NIPC, NEPC, Corporate Affairs Commission, Security Exchange Commission, to name a few, there's so many agencies. Some of these agencies are solely responsible in ensuring that a lot of these agreements are kept. And then for the government, when you talk about the government, you're not just talking about the federal government at the helm of affairs. You're not just talking about the Senate. There are various ministries. So you have the Ministry of Trade, you have the Ministry of Humanitarian Affairs, you have the Ministry of Health, Women Affairs, and so on. They are responsible for ensuring that the agreements and the trade deals that come in from these countries are emphasized and, you know, what's the word now? The rules and regulations are adhered to the later. Okay. And then from the ministries, it transcends to the companies. From the ministries, it transcends to the common man. It transcends to everyone else who is involved on the lower rung of the ladder. So when we talk about people not maximizing, who are the people? Who are we? Number one is the government. And when you talk about the government, like I did say, it's not about the Senate or the House of Reps. There are ministries involved who are saddled with the MDAs. Yeah. There are people, there are ministries, there are agencies, there are parastatals who are saddled with the responsibility of ensuring that investments are consistently brought to Nigeria. Nigeria consistently attracts investments. So at any juncture where the government has attracted investments, are these MDAs following through? Are these ministries following through? Are the parastatals following through? And then what is the communication with the people on the lower rung of the ladder, like meaning the companies you think you can work with, the companies you think you can partner with to implement all of these agreements that have been put together? What is your communication? What's your relationship like? Okay. So it's a whole lot of factors combined into one.
All right. We'll extend that conversation shortly. But before we do that, let's take this short break. When we come back to the studio, we'd like to narrow it down to the AGOA and the specific deals that we've had. I know that even before, was it before AGOA? Yeah, before AGOA, we had the trade, international trade framework with the US.
Yes, indeed.
Around 2000.
Yes, indeed.
We'll get into all that, but that will come up after this break. Do not change your dial. Lagos Talks 91.3 FM, the early edition is still live. We're back in the studio right here at Lagos Talks 91.3 FM. My guest is Wofai Samuel, the Director General of Nigerian American Chamber of Commerce, and we're talking trade. All right, thank you for staying with us. Now, narrowing it down to the AGOA and the individual businesses, I was telling you off air, I have a friend who exports groundnut from Togo, and trying to get him groundnut from Nigeria, he says it wouldn't be accepted. Now, let's say AGOA, for example, what are the challenges with AGOA? Because I know that Kenya maximizes it. Ghana does so well with AGOA. I mean, they export almost everything and it's on their lips almost every day. But in Nigeria, first of all, before I jump into conclusion, how well have we fared with this? What has been the benefits, and are we getting the best out of it, and why if not?
Okay, thank you very much. So your questions, what is
how well have we fared?
Are we getting the benefits?
Yeah.
If not a yes, why?
Why? Yeah.
First of all, the country I like to reference when I speak about AGOA is South Africa. So yes, Ghana has the potentials for Ghana has been enormous, and they've done really well with AGOA. I don't have the percentage, but for South Africa, I do think that I think about 50%, South Africa generated more than 50% revenue from non-oil exporting to the US.
Oh.
Under AGOA.
Just US?
Yes, exporting just to the US under AGOA. So South Africa is one of the countries that has, to a reasonable extent, maximized AGOA to the best of its ability with respect to non-oil products, non-oil commodities, non-oil exports. Yeah. Now, for Nigeria has not maximized AGOA. So
Don't tell me how poorly we've done.
Well, how poorly we've done. I think on a scorecard of 100, I could give Nigeria a 45, not even a 50%. Whereas you're looking at countries like Ghana, you're giving them 75. You're looking at countries like Kenya. You're giving Kenya an 80. I'll give South Africa like a 98%. So now, the reasons are quite simple. So for Nigeria, first of all, not so many traders understand the context and the concept of AGOA. Not so many businesses. So AGOA is strictly a US thing. And why we're so particular about AGOA is because Nigeria and the US, US happens to be our second largest trading partner. So, excluding and AGOA second, is
African Growth Opportunity Agreement.
Act for from the U.S. put together by the U.S. to ensure that goods that are exported from Africa to the U.S. are on almost limited or zero tariff. So you're paying for tariffs, but it's really, really low as long as your goods and services measure up to the standards that US expects and US wants.
Okay.
You're almost not paying for tariffs. So even if you have to pay, it's very low. Whereas if you're exporting to the US and you're exporting not under AGOA, you're paying really high tariffs. You're paying for all, you know, you're paying for all the treaties, all the taxes. It's high, comparable to exporting under AGOA. Now, not too many people understand the context of AGOA. It's because there are not many channels, avenues, opportunities to educate Nigerians about AGOA. So, for instance, the Nigerian American Chamber of Commerce, we keep talking about AGOA. There are several other associations and organizations that are pro-Nigeria American. They keep talking about AGOA. Again, I'd say not too many educational classes, not too many educational events, conversations tailored around AGOA. People are actually left to researching about AGOA, buying books that talk about AGOA, reading about AGOA, but not necessarily attending virtual sessions, online webinars, conversations that revolve about AGOA, where you can interact real time with Americans and people who have explored AGOA to ask questions and then see how we can benefit you. One of the other challenge I would say is that has made us not necessarily maximize AGOA to the best of our ability is, to a reasonable extent, we've always had problems with packaging and quality when it comes to exporting abroad. So yes, indeed, we do well in Nigeria because this intra-Nigeria, to a large extent, we're not very particular about the standards of what we consume because we just assume they're okay as long as they're okay. But in an international market, whether you're exporting to Ghana or even to Benin Republic or Kenya, they have their standards, their rules and regulations. There are certain standards and minimum required standards that you have to measure up with. If you don't measure up with these standards, there are no shortcuts. Your goods would be rejected, and if your goods are rejected, of course, you know that's a capital losses. It's a lot of loss on FX for Nigeria, incurring a lot of losses. So, with respect to the content of the goods that are exported, the quality, sometimes we don't measure up. And then I think in that regard, I call on the Standards Organization of Nigeria, I call on NAFDAC, and so many other agencies that act as regulators to the goods and services that we produce. They need to do more. They are trying and doing their best, but a lot more has to be done. Now, with respect to packaging, we also need to understand that packaging, even in the US market, is very different. So what should the labeling and packaging look like? What are the colors they want? How should your words, your phrases, and whatever it is be crafted? Some of these things are they look very minute, but to a reasonable extent, they are major for an international market like the US. Away from that, you also consider documentation. So for you to be able to maximize even some opportunities in MDAs in Nigeria, you know how cumbersome the process can be. It's cumbersome, but at the end of the day, it's productive because you have to go through all of those documentation. So the documentation process can be very hectic and tasking, but the end result is worth the Herculean task.
All right.
So when you look at, you know, the US, the process of documentations, a lot of Nigerian traders, Nigerian businesses and organizations are almost not willing to go through
that
the
process.
Phases of those documentation processes. So they begin, and at the end of the day, at some point in time, they just lay back. And then we cannot say that we do not have our own challenges in Nigeria. Electricity continues to be a huge challenge.
That process, for example, is it because it is the demands are unrealistic, or why do Nigerians just give up halfway?
I don't think the demands are unrealistic, because if we say the demands are unrealistic, Ghana is doing it. I don't think
South
the requirements.
Africa is doing
South Africa
it.
Is,
Kenya
doing,
is doing
you
it.
Know, going, South Africa is actually even a larger economy. So let's even keep South Africa apart. So we're looking at our close neighbors. Let's look at Ghana. Ghana is a very close neighbor to Nigeria. So if Ghana can do it, why can't Nigeria? Ghana is a smaller country comparable to Nigeria. So I think where the issues are again around data. We are not very good with keeping data. When it comes to data, when it comes to documentation, that's one area Nigeria and Nigerians need to improve. That's one area the government agencies, MDAs, parastatals, ministries, departments and agencies, we need to do better, including myself. We need to do better with keeping data. Okay, I'm on radio right now. How many persons are listening? Am I able to track the number of males, females, from what location? If we have apps, I'm just giving you a typical example. If we have apps that can track all of this data, you have a better understanding of, you know, the frequency from what location or axis people are listening. So now that's just an example. So the better we're able to track data, the easier it is for us with documentation. But in this part of the world, because from the inception, we were not necessarily told the importance of data. Nobody has necessarily made it compulsory that we must keep data. It's a big problem for us. So if you don't have the right data, you cannot put out the right information. I tell people all the time, after facts is data. If you're putting out an argument, if you need to shut the argument very easily, data is what you're supposed to be using, or data is what you'd use. Data is something that, you know, just quenches every argument. And so if you're not able to get your data, you know, your data or your data storage, your data capturing modalities right, it is difficult to be able to document. And if you cannot document, you cannot maximize AGUA.
And in corroborating your talks on data, yesterday we were having a conversation about someone, a colleague was saying that the 1 billion naira that Funke Akindele's movie clocked at the box office was unrealistic. That there is no way you could make 1 billion naira at the box office in Nigeria. How many theaters do we have that was inflated? You know, we kept going back and forth, back and forth. And on this data issue, so while we're talking, I was saying it's possible. And we're looking at the cinemas we have. We have a larger cluster of cinemas in Southwest. How many do you have in Southeast, South, and other part, North? And
in the North.
In the North and all that. But, you know, while we were talking, and it was almost convincing me, I said, well, but I don't believe they would tell such a lie, because then you're exposing yourself to more taxes from government. And while we were there, a colleague just crunched the figures and said, ticket at 5,000 naira, which at times might be more, you only need 200,000 people to reach 1 billion. And that's very achievable, even in the Southwest alone. And that killed
the entire argument. Controversy.
I mean, their controversy. And so data, I agree with you, is very, very key. And one data we'll need to look at is the regional trade. But unfortunately, we need to drag you back to the studio another day, because we're out of time right now. Okay. We need to wrap up the show. But we need on a later day to look at data in the regional data, how we're faring, and what we're doing to boost the Nigerian trade, because I know for a fact that the emergent up until ABC was the first bus company, organized transport system that went from Nigeria to Ghana. Before they had all these normal buses, the cars in Mile 2 and all that. Until it came, we didn't really understand the volume of movement between Nigeria and Ghana.
Okay.
But when it came in and we had two buses go every day, then the Young Shall Grow came, OKSIN came in, FX and the rest came on board. And we had about seven companies moving every day, and the buses were filled, and yet the small cars were filled every morning, still going, and you had people crossing the borders themselves. Then suddenly realized how much we trade a lot together.
That's true.
And we don't have the volume, so
that's
we are unable
true.
To weigh and even tax those who trade. So a lot of taxes we are missing, but we need to get you back in the studio.
Thank you, Wolf,
Samuel.
Excuse me. Thank you, man. It will be a pleasure to come here. I mean, there's so many conversations we need to have around trade, and you know how I'll be more than elated to come here.
Great,
more than happy to come back.
And when she comes back, I guarantee you, listeners, we'll talk a lot more about AGOA, because I know a lot of you are doing so much, and if you can get the right guidance and assistance, you will be able to export your products and make more money for yourself. And you know, like I always say, pay your taxes. Let Nigeria make some money as well. Wafai Samuel, thank you for
your
time
this
morning.
Thank you very much, Kayode. It's been a pleasure hosting me on the event. Hosting me
on the show.
Thank you very much.
Great.
Your favorite Lagos Talks podcasts are now available on all online podcast platforms. Simply search for Lagos Talks 913 on your preferred podcast platform. Lagos Talks 91.3.
Join the conversation.